Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout, your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. When you think that things can't get much worse, in a second, oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying,
always saying what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember you'll don't kill you, makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
Continue for Truth Radio. This is Parental Sovereignty Radio Show. We do each week. Dan Wilson down in Newport Richey, California. Boy, I almost called you California, Dan. Newport Richey, Florida. And Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama. And we're going to have a great time tonight talking politics as we normally do. I'm sure we'll bring up the name Rodney Lee Conover a few times. I'm sure we will talk about the summer of 1787 a few times. And we're just going to have a great time talking politics as we do each week, covering all the things. You know, it's been a great week. It's been a really, really good week. You know, the three of us really are together because at one point we really liked Herman Cain, and we got on the Cain train, and we've experienced that. And I want to tell you, I've experienced in the last 4 days the Rodney Conover train speeding up. Things are finally coming together. You know, it takes a little bit of effort to put the campaign together, puts a little bit of effort to put the candidate together, takes a little bit of effort to put the grassroots together. But some things really came together this week, and I'm really, really glad about that. And I really feel like the train is just speeding up and speeding up. We're looking forward to that, so we'll talk more about that later. We got some wonderful news today. The Romecki family, a German family that left here and fled the United States for asylum because Germany won't let them homeschool. And they've been fighting this fight. The administration has been opposed to them staying here, which is insane. Here's a wonderful family that has got a reason to come here and trying to go through the legal system to come here, and the administration says no. But when it comes to people just crossing the border with no care about our laws, they just put up the yellow flag, you know, come on by. But today, we got word that they can stay indefinitely, and I we'll talk about this a little bit later too. I think there might be something nefarious behind the administration's decision to do this. However, for that family, it's wonderful, wonderful news. They can stay here and they can homeschool their family. So we got that good news today, and all kinds of things going on. So I'm going to pass it around. I'm pass it down to Dan Wilson down in Newport Richey, Florida, for his opening remarks, and I'll let Dan pass it to Jennifer when she's in here, and we'll go from there. And Dan, how are you doing down there? Is it warm down there?
Oh, it's beautiful. I think it got up to 81 today, and well, it was a little cloudy, but you know, other than that, I can't argue. And the cold front that's hitting everybody else just petered out just before it got to us, so I'm happy with that. And yeah, I've been following that family and heard how the Justice Department went after them. And, you know, it shows what this administration's all about. I'm sorry, I have no use for them. And the faster we get rid of that, you know, get them out of office, the better off our country will be. As a patriot, I'm getting really, really upset with what they are doing to our nation. And I want them out ASAP. So hopefully that will happen and we can move on and start rebuilding our nation. I've been looking at what's been going on internationally and look at what Putin is doing over in Russia. You know, he's trying to reclaim the old USSR, and we have North Korea starting to test their missiles that are just aimed, they're named right now into their waters, but it's the exact same distance that they're shooting to Seoul, South Korea. And I'm afraid that he's going to start something over in South Korea, and we are not going to have the resources to be able to stop it. You know, Reagan taught us in the 80s that the way to lead is lead with an iron fist, but use a feather touch. And he showed how this will work. He created the strongest military in the world, and he stopped the Cold War without firing a shot. Obama missed that lesson, and he's putting us in the same position that FDR did pre-World War II. And, you know, if he doesn't watch out, we're going to be dragged right into World War III because he allowed our military to disintegrate. What has kept the stability in this world is the U.S. military. The strength of the U.S. military has been so strong that no nation has dared to attack us anything. any of our allies or do anything too far. And Obama doesn't understand that diplomacy doesn't work, only works when you have something to back it up with. And if you have a big fist sitting there going, you better follow what we say or you're going to have a real bad morning. You know, this is what how the whole thing works. And he's going in there with no aces, and he expects something's going to happen. And it's, you know, all the talking he's going to do is going to do no good in this situation. And the only way to stabilize this is to put money back into our military and get it going again while we still can. And we can do that relatively quickly and get our assets up. He's going to have to give up his pet programs, but this is what we need to do right now. And he needs to understand that the free enterprise system is the only system that's going to work to get us back up and running. He can't go out and start taxing the rich, taxing corporations to the point where they can no longer support adding new employees. If you take down their, reduce their taxes, reduce the taxes for the rich, you'll have your subchapter S people hiring, and you'll also have the corporations hiring and growing. It's not that these companies are not ready to grow. It's that they can't afford to right now because of the taxation. And what this administration also doesn't understand is by lowering the taxes and getting companies, allowing companies to get going, they can actually bring in more money. But it seems like these little pea brains up there don't seem to understand that. That you could actually make more money than over taxation through volume. And this is what we need to do, is put people back to work on a large scale, and then we'll actually, the government would make more money, and we could start recovering as an economy. Right now, our economy is, I mean, if our country was a human in ICU, I would say call the priest for the last rites right now when it comes to our economy, because we're on a life support system right now. Because of poor spending, poor decision-making. This guy does not know how to lead this nation, and he needs to be thrown out. And we need to get Congress to put in for impeachment process and put pressure on the Senate to throw him out. So we can at least, you know, if we have Biden in, at least Biden, I think, would be more amenable to us. And he would also not put the Muslim Brotherhood chaplains in our military. You know, he's inviting the damn enemy to preach to our soldiers. I mean, you can see this guy's game, and it's time to call his bluff. I mean, we need to start taking down and putting our foot down and saying enough is enough. And I'm just getting really, really upset with this. I have an idea that I'm working on and trying to get people involved with and discuss it with everybody off there, but don't want to show the hand a little bit too early, but I think it's a good way to wake up Congress. Anyway, with that being said, I'm going to pass it over to Alabama. Jennifer, how warm is it over there?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, they started out at the beginning saying they were not going to put anything controversial in the session up in Montgomery, Alabama. Now they've got a couple of they got a gun bill that's up there, and there's a heartbeat legislation bill that's up there as well. They've decided to put Common Core back on the floor again, so there's some major headway being made in that regard to try to repeal. So I'm glad to see that we've got some people taking some action, but I will say this is the 2014 election cycle, so you have to wonder if it was an off season, would people actually be, you know, fighting as hard as they are now? You know, so it's sad, you know, when people want to get elected to office, you know, they'll do and say whatever they have to get there, and then once they get in there, their voting record begins to plummet. You know, so, you know, I just, I would encourage, you know, one of the things that we're getting prepared to do in Alabama, the two groups, the Alabama Republican Assembly and Bama Cary, is bringing in Jan Morgan with Jan Morgan Media, and we're going to have a Faith and Freedom rally. It's going to be a chance for people to get some NRA gun training on the 29th of March at Hoover Tactical Firearms in Birmingham, Alabama, Hoover area, and then we're going to be going over to Southern Legacy Barbecue. So anybody that's is interested in that, they can go to janmorganmedia.com website, make a phone call to her, and if you want to just take the gun class, just the training part, it's $50. If you want to actually get the NRA certified and actually go to the range, it's $100, and all she requires is that you put a half of that amount down as a deposit. It's going to be a good time. One of the things I think that we recognize, especially with what's going on with Connecticut, is our constitutional rights are being, you know, threatened. And the citizens, we the people, the reason that the Constitution was written, our rights are being questioned, are being violated. And the citizens are saying that we're going to uprise. You take away our Second Amendment rights from us, you try to alter the Constitution, and, you know, we're going to make our voices be heard. I know that Alabama is putting together a rally to take a stand for Connecticut, for the citizens of Connecticut, and I know that we have other states that are following in suit as well. You know, I'm telling you, it's a sad state of affairs when we as American citizens, those that are born here, not naturalized citizens, we have so many people that kids today that are growing up not knowing anything about the history of the Constitution, the preamble, the Bill of Rights. And I remember back when, you know, that was a big thing. 1976, bicentennial year. You know, times are changing. And if we don't start paying attention, when you don't know what your constitutional rights are, it's easy to have them violated. You know, they're... Anyway, back over to you, Scott.
Well, and I agree. And, you know, we've got some breaking news going on right now. You know, this is Election Day here in Texas. Woohoo! And let me tell you, I just saw something here on the news, looking up the election results, because they should kind of really start coming in. And it looks like John Cornyn is gonna win the primary, which is too bad, because he really needs to go. But I'm looking at this governor's results. And, you know, on the Democratic side, you got this blonde girl. and her name is Wendy Davis. I call her Wendy Girl. And she turned out to be quite the dud. If you'll remember, a few months back, she got on and she filibustered on the floor of the State House there in Austin about abortion. And he wore a colostomy bag and her tennis shoes and everything. And the left, the far left, Battleground Texas, got all excited because they had found their savior. Well, it turns out she's been kind of turned out to be quite a dud. She donated money to George Bush. She really came out opposed to partial birth abortion before she was for it. And she just makes a lot of mistakes. She's got like 3 out of 4 years. She's got campaign finance problems of one kind or another. But the results are coming in, and it looks like my buddy Greg Abbott is going to win the primary hands down, 91%. His opponents in the primary got the next one up was 4.2. Fritsch got that, and Martinez and Kilgore were down at below 3. Greg Abbott comes out with 91.9. And Wendy Davis, she won her primary with 79% of the vote. But here's the thing I'm looking at. And we all know Michael Smith here in the Fort Worth area, a good friend of all of ours, does continue for Conservative Nation Radio. He had a Herman Cain show at one time. Him and I came into Blog Talk about the same time. He turned his Blog Talk into Conservative Nation Radio. And he mentioned something this morning on Twitter, on Facebook, and I kind of laughed. He says, you know what, to vote today. And I noticed that the line on the right was very, very long, and the line on the left was just not long at all. And that tells you something. Now, you know, it's not going to push Wendy Davis out because she only relies on getting the majority of that small line. But that shows enthusiasm, and I'm going to tell you what I just see. Here we've got Wendy Davis. Okay, she's got 79% of the vote, but they've got tweets right next to it. She's got 256,000 tweets. You think that's a lot? Greg Abbott has 742,000 tweets. 3 times as many on social media, the presence, than Wendy Davis. And he split. He's got 3 other opponents. She's only got one. From 250 to 75 to 750,000 tweets is a huge, huge difference. And I like to analyze. I really like to analyze. And I look at, okay, what's really going on here? And I see that as ambition on behalf of the grassroots on one side versus the other. When you've got 3 times as many people out there fighting for you than your opponent, it's going to be Greg Abbott against Wendy Davis from here on out into November. And from what I see, the polls I've been seeing, she's having a hard time keeping above 35% in the polls right now. They've really, really, really picked a dud. So I think it's going to be a great year here in Texas. But, you know, what does that cause? You know, those are the guys at the top of the ticket. That really helps us at the bottom of the ticket. Because Battleground, I'm starting to call it Battle Playground, Texas, because they really are starting to look like a bunch of buffoons. They've been lying and cheating and doing all kinds of things. Project Veritas here with Lawrence Jones and James O'Keefe have been, it seems like, every other day coming out with a scandal of how they're trying to cheat. But when it all comes down to it, they're not accomplishing anything. And, you know, it's better to not start a war at all than to start one and lose. And they've made Texas their big game plan this year. The Democrats have made Texas their bullseye this year. And I think they're going to lose it, and I think they're going to lose it big. In fact, I think this year in November, we're going to take back Texas and turn it redder than it was before, let alone not go the other direction of blue. And I'll be looking here while Dan and Jennifer are talking. We're going to be looking to see what happened with Connie Burton. We've talked about her here on Contending for Truth Radio a lot. Great lady. She's the woman who's replacing Wendy Davis. Wendy Davis is leaving a state Senate seat in order to run for governor. Well, Connie Burton's coming behind her and I believe going to win that seat. Incredible woman, grassroots woman. She was very instrumental in helping Ted Cruz get his get his win in here and beat in the primary against Dewhurst. She's just one hell of a lady, let me tell you. And we're also going to be looking to see how Sid Miller's doing. I'm fully confident in both of them. In most of the polls, they've been coming out way ahead. I believe we're going to have all three of those. Those are the three I was picking tonight, Greg Abbott and Connie Burton and Sid Miller. There's a bunch of other ones that I'll be excited to see how they happen, but those have been the ones that I've been supporting. And you know, so goes Texas, so goes the rest of the country. They say that a lot down here in Texas, and that's right. Because if the people in Texas aren't working hard to save Texas and to keep Texas the way Texas is, boy, there's no hope for any place like California. That is for sure. But all I know, I'm going to pass it back to you, Dan. I sure am glad that I traded Governor Moonbeam for Rick Perry. And I'm so glad that I've especially traded out Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, and Dianne Feinstein. I've traded them for some fine Texans here in Texas, and we're having a great time. So, Dan, with that, I will pass it back to you.
Yeah, those names you just called out, Boxer, Feinstein, you know something, if I never heard their names again, wouldn't hurt my feelings in a bit. I saw what they did, what we're doing to California when I was living there, and I was appalled at it. And people, you know, it's the communist state of Santa Barbara, Santa Monica. These people just don't have a clue. And they don't understand where they're guiding our country. They really don't. They don't understand that Obama has us on a clear path to communism. And this is something that we can lose our nation really, really quick if we don't stand up and start fighting. And I'm not talking about as in a military way, but as we the people need to really voice our concerns. And as Jennifer was saying about the Second Amendment, thank God I live in Florida, because they haven't attacked that yet. And I know that they would like to, but they Floridians like their guns. And if you want to lose your position in office, try to take our guns away from us. And we're really proud to have that carry and conceal law. And we're proud that somebody can just go out, purchase a gun, and 3 days later, after your background check, you have your weapon. And you can, you know, if you want to spend the money, you can get your Class 3 license, which is fully automatic. Weapons. It requires a more in-depth background check, but you know something, we can do that. You know, and this is what the Constitution, you know, if we look back, you know, what Jennifer was saying, that, you know, they're attacking our constitutional rights. I just went through the other day to see how many constitutional violations have taken place on just our Bill of Rights, our first 10 amendments. And, you know, we have a very good friend who was involved in Missouri and just setting up a sign over an overpass and having a group of people just, you know, standing around and giving a peaceful assembly, and the police came in and arrested like half the group. Now, you know, we have the right to, the First Amendment gives us a right for peaceful assembly, and we don't have to ask the government for that right. That is one of the God-given rights. And one of the things this administration does not understand is these first 10 amendments did not come from man, it came from God. These are our God-given rights. And no government has the right to take that away from us. And, you know, when it comes to the Second Amendment, you know, it reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. And the Second Amendment was designed for this very thing, that each state is a sovereign entity within itself. And we have the right to create militias to protect us from a tyrannical government, which we are rapidly getting right now. And I am proud to say that militias are popping up all over the place. Even my little retirement community over here, we're starting to organize. And we have the VFW right down the road. And most of the people who live here in this community are Vietnam vets and a lot of retired SEALs, Rangers, Delta Force. You know, we may be old, but we ain't dead. And we know the tactics of war. If this president ever or any outside force ever tries to take over, they're in for a big surprise, because I know we aren't the only ones preparing. And I know friends in Ohio, Missouri, even up in Connecticut. In Connecticut, I'm very, very proud of the gun owners up there, because they're refusing to register their guns. They have less than 10% who have responded to that law that was thrown through. And I've been pushing our governor to get Colt Manufacturing to move their facility from Hartford, Connecticut, down here, where they're appreciated and not, you know, shunned upon. You know, and let Connecticut lose those jobs, and let people down here, down south, who appreciate it, you know, take over. And we'll be happy to build fine weapons and keep up in the fine tradition of Colt manufacturing. And I am proud to say that I have a Colt 911 myself, and I have friends with AR-15s. And you know something? This is our constitutional right. If Hitler said, the first way to take over a nation is to remove two things. You remove God, and you remove their ability to defend themselves. And people are finally realizing that we're going to lose. If we lose our ability to defend ourselves, we lose the nation. So the first two amendments are paramount to keeping our nation. And we have to start doing something about this. You know, we're seeing violations on our First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth, and Ninth and Tenth. The only thing they haven't hit us on is third. And right now, what we need to start sending to Washington is a clear message to let them know that we mean business. And we, the people, if our elected officials are not going to listen to us in Congress, then we're going to go to them and we'll address them directly. And You know, if they then, it makes it a lot more difficult for them to deny us. And it sends a clear message that it is us, we the people, who are in charge. And they are only our elected officials. And if they are not going to do their job, then we'll vote them out of office, and we'll find somebody who will. And right now, Congress and the Senate are so arrogant that they think that they're running the country. And we got to let them know, no, it's the people who are running the country. And this is our constitutional obligation to make sure that they understand that. And we need to go there and send a clear message to both houses that if they want their jobs, they better start listening to their constituents. And with that, I'll pass it over to Jennifer. You there?
Dan, I believe that we may have a special guest calling in tonight. Scott, if you'll let us know when the caller hits the line. We've got some...
I will do. I'll let you know.
Thank you. We have some stuff going on around the nation right now, especially with what's happening with Connecticut. It seems to be that, the officials there want to take away the rights of the citizens. They're trying to get them to give up their gun rights. And the citizens are speaking their mind about it, and I think it's a good thing. I mean, we have issues going on around the United States. There seems to be, we know what happened in Poland. We know what happened, in Germany when people were asked to give up their guns. And we don't want to have that happen here in the United States of America. The end result, we've already been through that before. You can look at history and see what that does. When you take away mine and yours, regular citizens' right to bear arms, the only people that have those are the ones that are the criminals, in my opinion. And I think it's time that that we do our part to speak out. And if the person that you have representing you in your district does not stand for your Second Amendment rights, then you need to vote them out. It is time, because there's no time like the present. We've got to do our part. And, it is time that we make a difference. I know that it's going to take, many of us. And it's not just going to, your court, the state house, the capital of your state, and going and rallying. It's going to take those sending letters and talking and making sure that you let your senators and your congressmen know, where you stand. They'll make a difference. When they're out there voting, you hold their feet to the fire, and you let them know that if you don't act according to the Constitution, that we are going to vote you out. And it is imperative that this, be one of the priorities. It seems like, 2014 election season, so many people are trying to, say what they think you want to hear so that they can get elected and then go back to doing what they normally do. So I think if I understand correctly, Scott, do we have a guest on the line?
We sure do. We sure do, Jen, and I'll bring him in just a second. I just got the election results. Of course, again, folks, we're doing our election, our primary election today here in Texas. And I am ecstatic, Dan Wilson. I am ecstatic. Sid Miller is walking away with this. Looks like he is going to be our candidate going into the general election for Agricultural Commission. What makes Sid Miller special is Sid Miller is a good man. And, you know, Sid Miller has firm positions on a lot of different things. And, you know, a lot of people go, well, why is it important for the position of an agricultural commissioner? And, you know, Sid says, because it goes to my character. It basically goes to my character. He's a great man. He's a statesman. Dan Wilson and I had the pleasure of interviewing him, a short interview, a few weeks ago on our Saturday show. Got to know him a little bit, and that is great. We're looking forward to running with him through November and make sure that he becomes the next agricultural commissioner here in Texas. And I have election results, some partial results for Connie Burton. Connie Burton is looking really, really good, too. She is sitting on top with 45% with a handful of people below her. Looks like she's got a really good chance of winning this tonight, too. Connie Burton, of course, running for the state Senate seat left open by Wendy Davis, the little blonde-haired girl that thinks she can be governor of Texas, who's finding out it's not so easy to do that. So I'm going to be on cloud 9 tonight. We'll be posting about that. But, yes, Jennifer, we sure do. We have your guest, Eddie Fulmer, on, and I'm going to go ahead and unmute it. I'm going to pass it back to you, Jennifer, and let you introduce him and bring him onto the show.
You know, we've got people out there that are really fighting a good fight for you and me and for those that are coming up, you know, the next generation. And you know, it is so imperative that we understand our constitutional rights. And this is one man that I am proud to say that I have become acquainted with. Last year when we had our Tax Day rally and we had Dan Morgan come in, I got a chance to really get to know Eddie Fulmer. And he's really making a difference in Alabama with a group called Bama Carry. And they are really making a difference at the State House, doing a lot to even get involved on a local level, talking to the mayor and, you know, trying to really make sure that the citizens are educated. With that, I want to bring Eddie in, Eddie Fulmer, to talk about what's going on with Second Amendment rights in Alabama and some of the things that they're doing to try to help be supportive of the citizens of Connecticut.
Well, thanks for that great introduction, Jennifer, and I hope you're hearing me okay. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, we are under duress in many of our states here recently with our gun rights and stuff, and it appears that our politicians just simply don't want to follow the Constitution, and that's very disturbing to me. I got involved in the gun rights movement about 4 years ago, and even now the state of Connecticut has seen fit to make many of their citizens instant felons by passing that very abusive and restrictive gun law that they just passed up there. So here in Alabama, I'm the president of a group called Bama Carry Incorporated, and we're a nonprofit here, and we work mainly on the gun rights in the state of Alabama. But it's not all just Alabama, and it's not all just gun rights. It has a lot to do with overreach of governmental authority, and we find that it's rampant everywhere you go, all the way down to the local city governments, and it seems like we train politicians to overreach their authority here, and we send them on up the line to be senators and legislatures and on the state level, and then we send them to the federal government to represent us there, and they learn, they cut their teeth in local government, and they still overreach in their authority. So basically, we worried about our senators and our lawmakers basically exercising authority that we the people never gave them. And one thing that I've had a hard time doing is understanding that instead of looking up to our lawmakers, we should really be looking down at them because they work for us. And to show support for the the gun owners in Connecticut who are, even now, I saw a couple on the news channel a while ago, are standing and making, doing civil disobedience, actually saying, we will not comply. If you want these weapons, you're gonna have to come get them. And the sad part about that is the people that made the law and put it in effect are not going to be the ones that's going to have to knock on the door where somebody has got a weapon that they've deemed inappropriate for a law-abiding citizen to own, who was turned into a criminal by the stroke of a pen by the governor. It's going to be the local police officers or the state police doing that. And, you know, they're real close to something really bad happened in Connecticut. So we're trying to head that off here in Alabama. And as a show of support for them, everybody can't make the trip to Connecticut. But this coming Saturday, we'll be gathered up in the town of Hoover on Highway 280 up here, right close to the Walmart there. And we're going to have a gun rights rally, freedom rally, a gun rights freedom rally there. And, you know, we're expecting a good turnout for that. And basically, it's just to show solidarity for our brothers up in Connecticut who are suffering under a restrictive liberal government. And you know, if you got any questions or anything you want to ask, I'm sorry I may have rambled on just a little bit, but I'm kind of passionate about what we do here. And you can find us on bamacarry.org or bamacarry on Facebook and find out a little bit about what we do. But we center around gun rights, but it's not just about guns, I assure you. It's about freedoms in our state.
Well, amen, Eddie. And, you know, we talk on here a lot. Dan and I love history. And we talk on here a lot about that summer of 1787. When our founding fathers got together in that little room, no air conditioning, closed in, and for two solid months worked really, really hard to make sure that today, in 2014, America would still have the rights and the liberties that we've got. And when they put that Constitution together, they did it for a reason. And that reason was they knew that large federal governments, huge encumbering governments, cannot micromanage. And that states needed to be in control, that people needed to be in control, that parents needed to have sovereignty over their families, that local communities needed to have sovereignty over their communities, states needed to have sovereignty over their states, and the federal government, there were certain things that it was going to be really good at, but for the most part, they needed to keep their noses out of everything.
Exactly right.
Totally opposite direction of that. And, I give you great big kudos. Jennifer Montrose keeps me abridged of what's going on down there with you guys with Bama Carry. And proud of that. And we're going to continue to give you all the support you need. Because it's important. This is important, folks. This is our lives. Everybody that ever listens to me on Blog Talk Radio knows that I got three nieces. They're my life. Full-time uncle / parent. And I'm going to tell you, I worry every day, Eddie, about what life's going to be like when they're 40. Keep going in the direction we're going in.
Exactly. And that's one thing that I tell people. You know, if we don't stand up and take a stand and fight, if we don't stand up and fight for what's ours, if we don't take back what's ours, our kids and our grandkids, my grandkids now, they won't have anything to fight for.
That's right.
And so that's why it's so important that we do this now. And I really feel bad that I waited until I'm 58 years old before I really realized what was going on. But it is refreshing to see. It is really refreshing to see when you explain to somebody about their rights and how that you can stand up for them. And, you know, it's like a light bulb goes inside. Their eyes get brighter. And it's like, wow, this is true. I said, yeah, it's really true. You have rights, and you have to stand up for them, or they'll be taken from you.
Right.
And if you don't know what they are, you'll give them up at the drop of a hat because you don't even know what they are. You don't even know you had them if they're not explained to you. And I think probably, and I don't want to get on a wild goose chase here, but or chase a rabbit, but, you know, more than likely, we can blame ourselves for not requiring that our schools teach what our rights are in school.
Amen.
And of course, we failed as parents for not doing that either. You know, and you know, I fought my parents and my grandparents for that, but you know, I have to say they were busy raising kids and fighting a war a lot of times when a lot of our rights were done away with and were taken away. And this started years ago, but people are just now really learning because we're under an oppressive government right now. You know, and it scares me to death to think, my gosh, now the government is running my health care. Where is that in the Constitution? I can't find that in there. And I'm sorry. I told you it was more than just about guns. And I have a lot of opinions, and most of them have to do with being free. And,
amen.
I want to be able to take care of myself. I don't want the government taking care of me, no matter how much they want to do it. I want to be responsible. I'm responsible for me and my family, and I'm responsible for my family's safety. And when they talk about taking away the very tools that I would use to protect myself and my family and the state if need be, I find that very, very disturbing. And actually, it's incomprehensible to me because, man, I got relatives that shed blood so that I can be free. Their blood cries out from the ground to me. Why is has my blood been shed in vain? Please stand up and make it count for something. You know, we have shed American blood on foreign soil and on our soil for our rights. And if we can't stand up for the because of the sacrifices that were made by our forefathers and many of our relatives, you know, man, we just ain't worth nothing. That's, you know, we deserve what we get. We are too weak and wimpy to stand up for our rights.
Amen, right, Eddie. So that's the pattern of man. You know, when things get really good, we don't worry about things. And, you know, I think we had the Reagan years. We all laid down on the couch and started kicking it, thinking everything was going to be great. And all of a sudden we woke up and we had Barack Obama as a president and fundamental change. But I think America's waking up right now. I'm seeing some great things going on in Texas. I'm seeing some excitement on the Republican side, and almost zero excitement on the battleground Texas Democratic side right now. And you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to throw it to Dan. I know Dan's got a couple of questions for you, Eddie.
Okay.
Eddie, Have you you live down there in Alabama. I live in Texas. I just moved here from living in California, and I have a real hard time with this because I've never met any criminals that were willing to follow gun regulations. Have you?
You know, I have looked long and hard, and I cannot say that I have. I'm still looking, though, and if I find one, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna let you know, okay? I would dare you to ever find one that would follow the law. And you know, if they would, we could make every bank secure. All we'd have to do is put a sign on the front door that said no robberies. Don't you think that'd work?
If gun control would work, then that's going to work. That's what I know.
Exactly.
And you know, Dan, you and I have had this conversation a million times, I know. I think it all comes down to two basic questions. When the Berlin Wall fell, which way did the people run? And when you go down there south of you down there in Florida, that 90 miles of shark-infested water between Cuba and Florida, which way are the people swimming? I really think that's the only two questions we really need to ask. So, Dan, I'm going to pass it to you. I know you got some questions for Eddie, and I'll let you guys dialogue.
Well, Eddie, God bless you for doing this because you're right. This is a lot more than just our right to bear arms. This has to do with our freedom from the very basic. I was raised born in Connecticut, and I was raised in Rhode Island. And my hometown is where John Paul Jones lived when he wasn't at sea. And I'm fourth generation American. And my grandfather used to sit me down on his lap and used to tell me about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and he told me the importance. And I was lucky enough, you know, just, you know, to stand on Paul Revere's grave to see that.
Oh, man.
To see where, you know, Crispin Attucks died. You know, the first black American to be killed in the Revolution. And, you know, all these places, I have stayed in Longfellow's room at the Wayside Inn, from Tales of the Wayside Inn. History has run through my blood, and I am about the biggest patriot you're ever going to find. And, you know, I value so much, and I've always valued so much, our constitutional rights. And I knew that what Jefferson said was very true, that the road to patriot to freedom is paved by the blood of patriots. And we need to send a message to Washington, say, we're not going to take this anymore. Bro, you know, your games of thinking that you're the rulers. Scott and I, on Saturday morning, we play a piece from Red Skelton, who explains the Pledge of Allegiance so well. And it's when he says we are a country where the people are in charge of the government, not the other way around.
That's exactly right.
They need to understand that the reason why our Second Amendment is was put in place was not to go around and shoot Bambi. It was to keep state sovereignty and to protect it from a tyrannical government. And that is why the right to create the militias was put in place. And, you know, what I want to know is, you know, are you guys getting active in that area? And because we are down here in Florida, you know, and, you know, I went out to support the Second Amendment. I went out and got myself a good old Colt 1911, you know, built by John Browning. And I bought it because of the history. And you know something, as was said before, the only way you're going to take that gun out of my hands is to pry it from my dead fingers. And, you know, we have an idea going on that Jennifer will fill you in on later, and we hope that you get involved with it, because we want to send a message to Washington they can't ignore.
And, exactly. Let me go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on in Alabama right here. Last year we had an omnibus firearm bill come through the our state house and signed by the governor down here. Then it's for the first time ever in this gun bill, we actually got some freedoms back, but as with many bills that go through a house, you give up something to get something. And let me just say that the Bama Carry Incorporated here in Alabama, we are not in the compromising business. That's what got everybody where we are today, is compromise. And rights are something we just cannot compromise on. And it seems like that our lawmakers are intent on compromising our rights. Every little bit of power that they can get, they seem to want. One thing that we have here, we got a bill right now that's going to be voted on in the Judiciary Committee tomorrow, and it's going before the Senate. It's a vehicle carry bill. Now, Dan, I know you live in Florida, and I know y'all are able to carry a loaded pistol in your vehicle in Florida. without a permit.
Right.
That's something that Alabama cannot do, but it's something that every state in the South enjoys except for Alabama. And we have a problem with lawmakers not wanting to give us that freedom back. And that freedom was taken from us, Dan, during the Civil Rights Movement, when Rosa Parks wouldn't give her seat up. They changed our law to say that you had to have a permit to carry a pistol in your vehicle. And you wonder why that happened, and it was because the sheriffs in Alabama, at that time, we were a may issue state, which means the sheriff could issue you a permit to carry a pistol, or he didn't have to issue one, and he didn't have to give you a reason why. Well, they would not issue permits to blacks and poor whites because they were afraid they were going to put a pistol in your vehicle and ride to some demonstration somewhere. So that was a racist law from the get-go. And it's amazing even today how many, even after you explain it to them, that every state in the Southeast allows you to carry a loaded pistol in your vehicle without a permit, and Alabama doesn't, and that it's a racist law, they still want to hold on to that. And the argument that they want to use, and this is mainly coming from the Alabama Sheriff's Association, who have fought against our Second Amendment rights from day one. And let me tell you another little thing that's going on here, too, right after that, that you'll find really interesting, I think. But they are still holding on to that. So we're going to try to get that run through the Senate and the House. We're running out of time, but it's amazing that the argument they have is that if we give y'all that right, which is a right we have in Alabama, and they've taxed it to make it a privilege, if we give y'all that right, we won't be able to sell as many pistol permits, so we won't have enough money to buy bulletproof vests and all this stuff, you know, equipment for our officers. Well, it's money that they shouldn't have had to start with. And besides that, we're still going to buy permits anyway. You know, it's something that's just a moot point, but that's the thing that they holler about. And let me tell you something else that's really, really interesting here, Dan. And I don't want to hog the show here. I'm sorry. I'm kind of passionate about this because, you know, you got to follow the money on this deal. You know, you can always follow the money. Ha ha, that's a joke, but it's the truth, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, Eddie, I'm just as passionate. I mean.
The Section 94 in our Constitution, and I'm going to paraphrase it right here, says in our state Constitution now that the legislature shall not have the authority to give public money to private associations, okay? Now, is that very difficult to understand? If you're a private association, the legislature doesn't have the authority because we the people didn't give it to them to give money to private associations. Every sheriff in the state of Alabama, there's 67 counties, so there's 67 sheriffs, is a member of the Alabama Sheriff's Association. Dan, the Alabama Sheriff's Association has stood against our rights. They fought against us tooth and nail last year on the omnibus gun bill, and they are the very reason that we had to give up some of our rights to get some of them back. And it basically wound up being the scales were about equal. It was a bill that we got some and we lost some, so I'm not so sure we gained anything on it. But they pay the county out of the county coffers and sometimes out of the pistol permit money, which is still public money, they pay their Sheriff's Association dues, Dan. Every county is assessed dues by how many citizens are in that county. And every county averages, as best as we can understand, about $4,500 to the Sheriff's Association. This is unconstitutional money that they are receiving that belongs to me and every citizen in the state of Alabama. And we are on that, and we're going to have that money back. And the roots of this unconstitutional money grab go much, much deeper than just the Sheriff's Association. It even filters down to the District Attorney's Association, to the Chief of Police Association. Any money that is public that is paid to a private association is unconstitutional in the state of Alabama. So where do we go from here, and who do we hold accountable? Because you're going to get the DA to prosecute something like that, because more than likely his association dues are being paid by the county too. So we see a trend here of how that our officials, our elected officials, are actually robbing us of money to fight against our rights. And I might add that in Coffee County, and we have a recording of this, Dan, if I had it at my hands, fingertips here, I could play it for you, but we do have a recording of this. One of our Bama Cary members down there addressed the county commission and asked them not to pay the sheriff's association dues. And paraphrasing this and condensing it as much as I possibly can, the county lawyer stood up and says, well, the Constitution says we can't do this. Okay, and he said that right out of his own mouth to the county commission. The Constitution says we can't do this, but everybody else is doing it, so we're going to do it anyway, and I recommend you cut the check. I'd like to hear your comments on that, Dan.
Well, for one thing, if I heard that, I'd be up there screaming. You know, it's this is the way they're dealing with it on a state and on the federal level too, is that, you know, they think they have the right to bypass our Constitution, both state and federal, whenever they feel like it. And you know something, it's time for we the people to stand up and make a stand and say enough is enough. You know something, if I, especially with this carrying a gun, you know, a loaded gun in your car. You know something? We have, you never hear of carjackings in Florida. Somebody tries to carjack my, me, you know what they're going to be seeing? The barrel of a 45 caliber handgun, semi-auto. Fully
there
loaded,
you go.
Ready to go. And, you know, if you want to keep on arguing, your brains are going to be splattered over the next three counties. And, you know, it's to protect ourselves. You know, it's not for people who are legal are not the ones committing the crimes. It's the illegal gun owners. Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, the people who have permits have the lowest are involved in the lowest percentage of crimes of any group that you can name. The people that take the time to get a permit to carry a pistol, and they have the lowest rate of infractions against the law of any group anywhere. That's just a proven fact. And one thing that's strange is that our officials will use public safety as a cop-out, saying, well, you know, we got to do we got to take care of the public safety. It's public safety. My safety is my responsibility to start with. It doesn't belong to the government. It doesn't belong to the police departments. As a matter of fact, the police are not even legally required to protect you. And if they were, they'd be getting sued all the time, because the police can't be everywhere all the time. You know, if I could carry a cop around me everywhere I went, I wouldn't feel the need to be armed, right?
Right.
And what people need to understand is we're creating gun-free zones. You know, oh, let's get the guns out of schools. Well, you know, I agree the students probably don't need to have weapons, but shoot, let's arm our teachers. Do you know that you are more likely to be shot in a gun-free zone than anywhere else? And you think about that right there. And they it's amazing to me that people cannot understand the statistics, and we tend to operate off of emotion, just like up in Connecticut. When the, you know, the name of the school up there escapes me, but there was nothing that could have stopped that evil person from doing what he did. I don't think any law, and he broke law after law after law after law. I forget how many he broke before he ever pulled the trigger, you know, and it's a shame.
The only thing that could have stopped that is a teacher with a 45 in their hand, because then when he was trying to break in, they could have ended it before it ever started. And it's the same
you're
thing
exactly
with Columbine.
Right.
You know,
exactly right.
The safety.
Let me share this.
Go ahead.
Let me share this with you. In Aurora, Colorado, you know, that's where the guy went in the movie theater down there and shot it all up, you know. And just be nice. It's just good to know. And the news, a lot of the news outlets won't tell you this, and it wasn't mentioned a whole lot, but the guy walked by, I think, two, possibly three theaters, and the one that he shot up had a no gun sign on the front window. It was a gun free zone. Now, Dan, let's just think about this, Dan and Jennifer. If I was going to shoot up someplace and I wanted to shoot all the people I could, would I not pick a gun free zone? I think
makes
so.
Sense to me.
I mean, you know, I'm going to go where I have the least amount, least likelihood of being shot back at, you know. And it'd be like shooting fish in a barrel. Those poor people in that theater, none of them were armed, you know. Now, I'll be honest, I don't go to the theater a lot, and the theater down here that I go to, they have a no weapon sign, but it does not bother me. I'm not going to be disarmed. And
exactly.
I walk right on through it. I'm not going to be in a theater and somebody be shooting at me and mine, and I'd not have anything to protect myself with. And one thing I might tell you, Dan, here in Alabama, we have open carry, too. You can openly carry a handgun here in Alabama, actually without a permit. Y'all are real close to that in Florida, and if Marion Hammer has her way, y'all will be able to do that, too. I think it's a really good deterrent to crime. If you're carrying concealed, you're not a deterrent very much. But if somebody comes in and sees a pistol on your side, they are going to probably go somewhere else because they look for easy targets. And and if the people are listening today, if you want to find out, if you think that's wrong, let me just ask you to go to just Google this on your on Google. Kennesaw, Georgia, Waffle House, and just read what it says there. Basically, there were a couple of guys in there who were open carriers. Georgia's an open carry state there, and they were openly carrying their handguns, having some breakfast early in the morning, and a guy came in and walked around, and the two guys that were openly carrying thought, well, you know, that guy looked kind of funny, like he's kind of checking the place out. So when the two open carry guys, and by the way, Dan, they were carrying 1911 45s too, just so you know. But which is a pistol that's been around for over 100 years and is basically, for the most part, even unchanged. But when the guys went outside, they were greeted by blue lights behind the building where some observant law enforcement officer had seen a car full of folks back there or a vehicle back there, and the occupants of this vehicle had weapons and had hoods over their head and were planning to rob the Waffle House. And they were waiting for the two open carry guys to leave. So you can't tell me that a pistol on somebody's on a law-abiding citizen's side is not a deterrent. And open carry is coming back in Alabama. We just about forgot about it here. And I've been an avid open carrier for 4 years. And the only time I've had any problem is when we were educating law enforcement officers that had never seen it and didn't know that it was legal. But now I assure you, if you're a law enforcement officer in the state of Alabama and you don't know that open carry is legal, you've had your head in the sand or some other part of your anatomy for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's pretty hard to conceal a 1911. It's not exactly a small pistol.
You know, so. it's much too pretty of a gun to conceal.
Exactly.
It's much too pretty of a gun to conceal. You come to Alabama and you put it on your side, buddy, and show it off.
Yeah.
We have meetings up here, and I reside in Tuscaloosa County, which is where the Crimson Tide football team stays, too, by the way, and the Alabama Crimson Tide football team. And we have meetings here, and we have little satellite groups all over the state. I think we have like 17 different chapters now, and some of the chapters will take in like 3 counties each, and they all have meetings about once a month. And our meetings in Tuscaloosa here usually average around 60 to 100 people every month. And we've put together, we've gotten involved in politics, and you got to get involved. If you don't get involved, you're just spinning your wheels. You got to let these people know that you're going to hold their feet to the fire. You know, we can sit back and type in a box on Facebook on the computer, but you know what that's worth? Absolutely nothing, except to just vent your feelings to somebody. You got to get on the phone. You got to go to the state house. I addressed the Judiciary Committee this past Wednesday down at the state house, and it ain't cheap. I mean, you know, I'm a little over right at 2 hours away, so it cost me 4 hours of driving time, plus my gas, plus I had to eat when I was down there. So it's not a cheap thing to do sometimes. But it's something that we have to do. We have to be a part of the political process. And I think we're missing the boat a lot in our churches, too, because we don't get involved in the political process as much as we could. I know that the law keeps us from doing a lot of that, but, you know, I dare say that a lot of people, we need to get them registered to vote because they complain and they don't do anything about it.
Well, those who complain, Jennifer and Scott both know this, but I'm stage 4 heart disease patient, and I'm on the transplant list. And if I can do this, if I can fight this fight, there's no excuse they can't. And
I agree
God,
with
you know, because I will fight this fight until I draw my last breath. And because, you know something, I'm not doing this for me. I don't have much time left. But you know something, I have grandchildren. And, you know, I want them to grow up with the same freedom that I had growing up. I want them to enjoy going out trick-or-treating without worry about being assaulted or attacked. I want them to have all the beautiful things we had when we were growing up. And it's
That's
all
right.
Been taken
That's
away,
right.
You know. And by God, you know, our Constitution means more to me than anything. And I believe there are two documents that were created by God. One is the Bible. The second thing is the Constitution of the United States. I believe it was divinely inspired. And if we go back to this summer of 1787, for the first month that Congress got together to try to put our Constitution together, they sat there and they argued. And Benjamin Franklin stood up and said, you know, when our asses were against the fire and during the Revolution, we were praying before every meeting of Continental Congress. But all of a sudden, now that we're a free nation, you forget to do this. And he recommended that that Congress start praying before each session. And you know something? That's when the Constitution started coming together, and then John Adams and Thomas Jefferson delivered a document that is second to none, and today it's more applicable than it was when they put that pen down. It's more applicable now than ever before. And,
you know, we would, our founding fathers, the more you look at the founding fathers who drafted that original document now, and I'll tell you what, about three, it might have been 4 years ago, was the first time I ever really read our Constitution. I had read it, you know, some in school, bits and pieces of it, but it's a very short, it's an easy read, and it's very short, and the average fella can understand it. And the sad part about it is the first part of it, talking about why the Constitution was drafted, the reasons are the same things that could be used as reasons today. I mean, the same complaints they had are the same things people are complaining about today. And, you know, people will tell me, you know, we'll talk about our founding fathers weren't religious. You know, they might not have been religious. But I'm going to tell you what, searching back through documents, I find exactly what you said. And I was thinking about saying that, and it's funny that you brought that up, Dan, because our founding fathers were praying people. You can go back and look in the annals of Congress that are written down, and they weren't. I'm not talking about a 2 or 3 minute prayer here. We're talking about when they got on their knees all together and prayed for hours, something most people today have no clue about, prayed for hours. And that's exactly right. When you're talking about, that's when our Constitution started coming together. And, you know, the funny thing is, and many people don't want to recognize this, and, you know, some people find it offensive, but I find it truthful. The only guidebook that our founding fathers had to go by were the Holy Scriptures. That's
exactly
where our laws came from. This right of self-defense, it was not – our Constitution didn't give us that right. That's a right we had before the Constitution. The Constitution simply put it in writing and said this is a guaranteed right to protect it. We had that right before the Constitution was ever thought about here in the good old United States. Our right to self-defense is a God-given right. Now, you know, people can argue that all they want to, but I'm sorry, I'm kind of firm on that. And, you know, I think our founding fathers were God-fearing men, and I think they tried to follow as close as they could to the guidance of the good Lord, you know. And so that's kind of where I stand on that.
Well, let me give you a little story. And that the liberals have been using to take away God out of our country. And they always use the one, the separation of church and state. And let me give you a little story about this. And it's true. And there was a theologian, Baptist minister, who was thrown out of England because he refused to pray under the Church of England. He believed he was a firm Baptist. So he came over to the States, came over to the colonies looking for religious freedom. And he ran into the same thing with the Puritans. They said that you have to, their government said that you have to follow the Puritan laws or you are thrown out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And this man was named Roger Williams. And in 1634, he came down to about 80 miles south, and he created the colony of Providence that would later become the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. Now, he had been ousted by England and Massachusetts Bay Colony. And now Williams was a God-fearing man. And what he said, what he put, and the first thing in the Rhode Island State Constitution was separation between church and state. What he said was that no specific religion should rule over our nation. But he never, ever said anything about God. Removing God.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, separation between church and state came from 1634 and on the founding father of the state of Rhode Island. And you know where the first synagogue is located? Newport, Rhode Island. The birth of freedom of religion came from that little state. And Massachusetts doesn't like to admit that, neither does Connecticut, because Rhode Island was where they threw all the undesirables. We were also the first state to shoot the first shot with the beginning of the revolution.
Exactly.
I'm a historian on this, and you know, I could argue with any of these people in Washington because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And you know something?
No.
Everything that's in the Constitution is spelled out in the Federalist Papers. And if they just pick
exactly.
that up, there's no room for discrepancy. And this is what we need to put down and say, listen, the Constitution was written for this reason, in this way for a reason, and we're going to follow it by God because that's what our nation was founded upon.
There you go.
God bless America.
That's exactly right. Or in the words of Wild Bill, America bless God again. Let me, I want to share one other thing with you, Dan, and I got to go. When I was addressing the Senate Judiciary Committee, our Alabama Constitution, every state around us, Florida included, has a provision in their Constitution where that the legislature may regulate small arms. Alabama does not. As a matter of fact, in our Declaration of Rights in the Constitution of the State of Alabama, Section 26 specifically states that the people shall have the right to bear arms. Doesn't say anything about militia, and it goes on to list all of our rights in the Declaration of Rights that they had. And in Section 36, which is the last one, it specifically says that these rights are accepted out of the general powers of government. That's not too hard to understand. That means you leave them alone. And it also says that they shall forever remain inviolate, which means not touched, never molested. In other words, you can look at it, but don't you dare put your hands on it. And in the Constitution of 1901 at the Constitutional Assembly, it was proposed to make an amendment to change that to say that except the legislature shall regulate small arms and that they shall define such. So they actually was trying to change the amendment to say to be different than what it was that would allow the legislature to regulate small arms. Guess what, Dan? It did not make it in our Constitution. It never made it into the Constitution. So our Constitution still reads, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and it's accepted out of the general powers of government. At the judiciary meeting, when we were talking about trying to get this vehicle carry bill where you could carry in your vehicle without a permit, it was really interesting because I referred to those two articles in our Declaration of Rights in the Alabama Constitution, especially the part where it's accepted out of the general powers of government. And one of the senators, and I told him, I said, it's unconstitutional for y'all to make any laws because we've never given you the authority to do so. And one of the senators said, everything is constitutional until it's challenged in court. This is a lawyer. And I'm like, are you really kidding me? So what he's saying is, even though it's accepted out of the general powers of government, we still have a right to change it, and it'll stand until it's challenged in court. That was about the most asinine statement I've ever heard come out of the mouth of a senator, a sitting senator in the state of Alabama. And with that being said, I'm going to bid y'all a good night because I got an early morning in the morning, and I appreciate you letting me on the show. And I hope I haven't taken up too much airtime and Maybe I can get back on here. I've enjoyed the conversation. There's nothing I like better than talking about our liberties and freedoms. And so it's nice to meet you, Dan and Scott. And Jennifer, if you're still here, I'll be talking with you tomorrow sometime. Thank you so much. And God
thank
bless
you, Eddie.
God.
We need more people willing to stand up. And, you know, we support each and every state in the United States that is having to deal with these issues. We know we've got plenty of them going on in Connecticut, and it is time that we take a stand. You know, one of these days we'll have to see if we can't get Dan Morgan to come on here and, you know, talk about our freedom and liberties as well. So, you know, it just seems like we've got people that are naturalized citizens that have to study and are required to learn the Constitution in order to become a U.S. citizen seem to know more about our own constitutional laws and rights than those of us that are born here. I think we take it for granted and we forget, you know. And when history is not being taught in our schools, then our students, our future generation will never know the things that we had to go through to fight for our freedom. Does your 8-year-old know, does your 11-year-old understand what the bicentennial year is all about? Is there kids in high school that know what it took for women to even have the right to vote? Is there people that just think, the other day there was a question that was proposed. There's a new movie that came out, I think it's 17-something Years a Slave, and there were people that were questioning, you know, do people really believe that just because it was in the movie theaters that slavery only lasted so many years? You know, what do our children today really know about the history, the making of America? You know, it's time that we take a stand as parents, because if our educators, if our teachers are not doing their part to teach our children, then we have to take up the slack. And, you know, that's one of the things that I have been saying show after show, is that if we do not get ourselves well informed, then we are going to be one of those standing in the streets saying they lied to us. When we finally wake up one day and we realize that our rights have been taken away from us. You know, we look at the people they call the preppers and we think to ourselves, they're nuts. You know, they're overreacting. But, you know, the day before Hitler was elected, I bet you people were saying the same thing. And then the next day is when the nightmare began. And when they finally uncovered the secret that he had been hiding, you know, with the media propaganda, the whole purpose behind, you know, the movie Titanic and why it came out. There's various other things that went on back then. But once all that stuff started being uncovered, people were just like, I cannot believe. You know, and, you know, we voted our current president in twice. You know, and now people are beginning to scream. You know, they it's like, you know, people don't understand. And, you know, little by little, I mean, we've got more of our government trying to do land grabs, and for why? Well, if we can put American citizens over in one little corner, box them in, you know, and the next thing you know, we're going to have concentration camps. And people think that I'm being, you know, a conspiracy theorist for saying so. But, you know, I want to know, why did we have our military doing, you know, a military exercises with Blackhawks down in the inner cities of Miami? You know, what's the purpose of all that? You know, and why do we need all that extra, you know, militia out there when, you know, we had the Boston bombing? Why can't we secure our borders? You know, we've got people now that want to, you know, have immigration reform. For what? We've got laws. If we just follow them, we wouldn't have these issues that we have today. You know? And, you know, I have a right here in the United States. I was born here. There are others that want to come across here and they want to steal that right. They want to illegally have that right. And then we've got people here, elected officials in the United States, who want to give illegal aliens the same rights as me. You know, we've got stricter, there's stricter immigration laws in Mexico for their own citizens, you know, than what we have here in the United States now. And I'll look at what's going on in the Ukraine, you know, and are we a force to be reckoned with? Is the United States a nation that people are afraid of now? I think not. You know, and does Russia look scared? No. I mean, when we have people that come in under the radar and, you know, and we're able to do things like we had, you know, with the World Trade Center bombings, 2001. I mean, how many times are we going to have to go through this kind of stuff? You know, and then they shut down the whole air system. No planes flying over. You know, I just, people wake up. You know, if we're not careful, you know, as he said before, if you don't know your rights, then how do you know you're being, having them taken away from you? Scott, pass it back to you.
Well, amen. And Jennifer Montrose, thank you for an awesome, awesome guest. You know, I we're going to get him back on. I'll get together with him. We'll get him on Saturday with Dan and I on Saturday Symposium. Every Saturday, Dan and I get together, and we talk about people that have been there and done that and things that have happened in history, and we'll get him on there. Everybody knows that knows me knows I love passion, and he's got passion, and he's got the right answers. You know, I want everybody to remember bamacary.org. bamacary.org. We should have done that a couple of times while Eddie was talking. Make sure that you go to that website, check out what Eddie's doing, what his group's doing, because it's important. It's very important. You know, we love passion on here. You know, Dan, you know, we love history. I want to talk about Benjamin Franklin for a few minutes, because Eddie said a couple of really important things. You know, we're really right back where we were when the founding fathers were writing this Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and you know, in the years leading up to the Revolutionary War, you know, we all know the story, you know, the Boston Tea Party and the things that were going on, the Stamp Act, so on and so forth. But you know, what's a really interesting follow is to follow Benjamin Franklin during those years. Because Benjamin Franklin starts out as an ambassador. He's over in England, and he's living in England, and he's a patriot for England. He really is. He loves America, but he supports the king. God save the king, and he's happy. Everything over there is great. But as time goes on, Benjamin Franklin starts to realize that they don't respect him, and they don't respect America over there. And, you know, things happen here and there, and you know, they really kind of look down on him, even though he was a successful businessman already and an ambassador. They really kind of look down on him as if he was just no better than, you know, most servants, because he was out of his class. He was not supposed to be where he was at. And the Stamp Act came along, and the Intolerable Acts came along, and so on and so forth. And you watch Benjamin Franklin going from a very strong supporter of England to ready to go get France and help them win the Revolutionary War against England. And he totally makes a total slow but sure flip-flop in how he feels about England. And, you know, it really reminds me of where we're at today. Because that's exactly where we're at today. You know, we've sat and we've watched especially for about 6 years now, we've watched things slowly but surely go in the wrong direction. And, you know, just absolutely great guest. You know, Jennifer, one thing we're going to talk about with him next time is the California gun laws. You know, California's got the most stringent Brady gun laws in the country of all 50 states. So it should be the safest place in the whole world to live, right? But they also have the worst situation ever in gun problems. the worst situation ever in gun problems. We've got the worst crime, gun crime, in all 50 states. So it just proves that gun control does not work. And, you know, Eddie said something else that was really important, and this is what Rodney Conover says all the time. Got to hold these guys' feet to the fire. Got to hold their feet to the fire. And it takes work. As Eddie said, you know, it takes them a little bit of money. It takes them 4 hours, 5 hours out of his day, driving time, gas. He's got to eat down there. It costs a little bit of money. But he goes up there to the state house there in Montgomery, Alabama, and he holds their feet to the fire. And Rodney Conover wants to win, and here's why he wants to win. He wants to win because he wants to tell, send a message out, if you don't support what your constituents want, you're out of there. And that's what we got to do. That's how we win this battle. But absolutely great guest, Jennifer, and looking forward to having him on again at some point. We're sitting at about 20 minutes up to the top of the hour already. How we did that, I'm not quite sure. So we'll pass it around one more time for we'll go through our kind of our closing remarks, our last things to say. I'll pass it to you, Jennifer, first for your closing remarks, and I'll pass it to Dan, and then I'll take it back, and we'll talk about some of the things going on here at Contending for Truth Radio, and we will close up the night.
Okay, John,
yeah, I'm here. I want to encourage everybody to come. You know, next Tuesday night, we've got Ann Eubanks, who is the chairman for the Alabama Legislative Watchdog. She makes it her business to stay informed about what's going on in Alabama legislation, and especially with the subject of Common Core repeal. And she's been very, very well knowledgeable of what's going on across the nation with that. And so she's going to be coming on next Tuesday night at 9 to give us an update of what's going on around the nation and in Alabama as well, and going to let us know what we as citizens can do as parents, aunts, and uncles that are concerned about our children's future, what we can do to make a difference in some of the things that have been real successful for Alabama, and some things that I know that that many of us out there are feeling the frustration and want to know what it is that I can do to make a difference. So with that, I'll pass it over to Dan.
Well, great, Jennifer. You know, Eddie was a great, great guest, and I'm forward to getting to know him better. And, you know, the thing is our legislators today don't take us serious as the people. They think they're the ones running the country. And we're just the sheeples who are going to follow along. And what they know is that if they're every 4 years or 6 years when, you know, it comes up, they just feed us a line of slop. And then we go back to grazing, and they go off to Washington to do whatever they damn well please. And we've allowed them to do that enough. And I'm just as guilty as everybody else, because I didn't get involved until I started seeing what was going on. And it's time that we really send a message to Washington, and it needs to be done in person. And we need to let these people know who's in charge. Because, you know, as Red Skelton said, it's the people who run this country. And our government reports to us, we the people, not the other way around. And they have to learn that lesson again. And if they don't, they're going to find themselves unemployed. And because we're going on a crusade through the grassroots efforts to start eliminating these people and putting our nation back to where it belongs. and we're not going to allow these park programs. Recently, I've been going through the amount of departments, and I'm not even halfway through the alphabet, and I'm over 4,000 departments. And they come out, and they said, well, you know, as soon as you're talking about budget cuts, they said, well, we got to cut Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security. You know something? Those are not entitlements. If you look at your paycheck, and every other American who's lived in this country knows that there's a little four-letter thing on your paycheck, and there's money being taken out of your paycheck every day, every week, and it says FDIC. Well, that's your Social Security that's being taken out. And you know something? I put over 30 years to it. And if you want to call it an entitlement, then give me my friggin' money back. And I'll go out and buy my own insurance. And you know something? I'll get a hell of a lot better care than if I let you do it for me. And that's the way I feel about, you know. And if we're going to need to cut things, we're going to need to cut your little pork programs where people are going to go out and studying the mating habits of the gecko, you know, and getting $200 million for it. You know, this is where we got to start telling them where the cuts are going to be. And I'm watching, you know, TV right now, and there's a little American cemetery. And this really, you know, brings a tear to my eye because there's this young girl out, an artist, drawing a picture of an eagle carrying the American flag. And it's a story from World War One, and it's all written out about a soldier's sacrifice. And it said to mark our place in the sky for our veterans. And you know something? I'm seeing this pride of the patriot coming out. It's boiling up from 200 years of oppression, and it's coming back to the surface. And I'm so, you know who's leading the effort? The people who were hurt the most, the Vietnam vets. And I'm looking at this American cemetery right now on TV, and it's bringing back, you know, the memories of what was sacrificed to create this nation. And by God, I'm not going to let a bunch of left-sided liberals rip this nation apart. And if this president, I want to go there and tell them firsthand that, you know, you either do your job and get the hell out of Dodge, because I'm sick of it. And I know of about 20 million people that agree with me. And it's time to put, you know, it's time for us, we the people, to speak out and let our voices be heard. I am sick and tired of writing to my congressman and having him ignore me because he thinks he's better than me, that he doesn't have to listen to me because we elected him. Well, guess what? He can be unelected too. And this is what we need to start sending, is that we, the people, are in charge, not you. And we need it to make this message sent loud and clear to Washington. And, we plan to do it. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Jennifer, for your final remarks.
Thank you, Dan. You know, it's 2014. Things are much different than they were when I was growing up in school. And I'm really looking forward to the things that we're going to be doing, some great shows in the next coming month. And, you know, talking about faith, family, and freedom, there's just so much that's happening now. You know, you watch the news and stuff, and, you know, I'm just real impressed with what Scott's doing with those nieces of his. And, you know, Sid Miller, man, I mean, you fought a good fight. You're getting over the hump. There's, you know, other candidates out there that are doing their part, you know, and, man, you know, it's time. We got a Republican who's an incumbent in California District 8 who voted in support of Obamacare. You know, one of the main Republicans out there in Congress that supported it. And we have a candidate that's going to fight for your rights. Rodney Lee Conover. And I can't say enough, you know, about, you know, take a look at the candidates. You know, do your due diligence to know who you're voting for. You know, it's time. There are congressional races and Senate races, school board races, you know, governor races. There's many different, you know, offices, representatives in each state. Don't just because it's got an R behind the name or a D behind the name, you're going to vote for them. Find out exactly who it is. You know, what's the latest female candidate that's running for governor in California? Makes my head spin. You know, peace sign and all the trimmings of, you know, Woodstock right there in California. I don't even remember the woman's name. It had my head spinning, you know. But I'm glad we got Tim Donnelly doing his part, getting out there fighting a good fight. We got Dr. Alita Eck up in New Jersey running a good race for Congress. You know, there's just some things we got going on. And, you know, for those that are getting out there grabbing, I'll tell you what, people that are out there getting signatures for the candidates and stuff and doing what they can, you know, and sign waving and getting out there and standing on those overpasses just because they want to fight for the liberty, fight for freedom, fight for our right to have a voice, you know, and shout out to all of those people that go to their local, to go to their state, you know, houses, you know, and stand in the gap for those that have to work and go in there and fight to make sure that we have pro-life bills that pass and so many other things that are, you know, that are good for American citizens. You know, a shout out to all of those people that are, regardless of what organization you're with, you know, there are people fighting a good fight. And, you know, with that, I'll pass it back on to Scott.
Well, you know, Jennifer, that's right. And you know, we've got some candidates all over the country that are awesome. And we've got some incumbents all over the country that just need to be replaced. And we're going to do it. You know, Rodney Lee Conover, I'm going to tell you, folks, if you're listening to my voice right now, go to conoverforcongress.com and take a look at this guy. I'm going to tell you, on a personal level, I talk to this man a lot, and I can tell you where his heart is. His heart is good. He is a very vocal man. He's a man who has spent most of his life on stage, entertaining and publicly speaking, but at the same time, he's a very humble man. He's a man that will not be pushed around. He is a man that when he gets to Congress, he will be right there, folks, right there fighting hard. And that's what we need. We need a bunch of Rodney Lee Conovers. We need a bunch of Eddies, man, in the grassroots. I loved his passion, Jennifer. I'm a man of passion myself, and I'm a firm believer that it's 90% passion. If we get some grassroots leaders that had the passion that Eddie showed us tonight, we'll get the people led to defeat this and to win this battle. We're having a good night in Texas, let me tell you for sure. From everything I'm hearing, and I'm starting to hear all kinds of things from my friends here in Texas, it looks like the Democrats on voter turnout were just absolutely squashed today. And that tells me a lot because, you know, the Democrats have pegged Texas as the bullseye with Battleground Texas. I'm not sure if everybody knows what Battleground Texas is, but it's a big organization. They've moved into Texas with the sole purpose of turning Texas blue. And they basically did the same thing in Colorado. That's how Colorado ended up with its mess. But I think it's backfiring here in Texas. And I just have one thing to say, Battleground Texas. Come and take it. Come and take it. Remember the Alamo, folks. Remember the Alamo. Texas has got a wonderful history. We're the only state. They used to be their own country. And I am now a very proud Texan. And Texas is where now we broadcast, continuing for Truth Radio from each week. We've got some great shows lined up. Of course, Saturday, Dan and I, Saturday Symposium. Join us every Saturday. We're going to have some great guests on this year. We look at people that have been there and done that. We talk about a lot of history, a lot of politics, and we have a really, really good time. My flag show of the week and the one that is most important to me, Ladies Bible Class. I've been teaching the Ladies Bible Class in Springville, California for 5 years now. And love those ladies dearly. And it was a very hard thing to have to leave California. It was one of the big tearjerkers when I had to leave. But the ladies still get together at Betty's Table each Friday at 10:30 California time, 11:30 Mountain time, 12:30 Texas time, and 1:30 Alabama time. And no, you're on my time, aren't you, Jennifer? 12:30. Let's see, what is it? 1:30 Florida time, Dan time. And I do Blog Talk Radio from here in Mesquite, Texas, and they put the laptop up now on the kitchen table there in Springville, California, and we wander through the Old Testament, looking at Old Testament history, and we're studying the story of David right now, having a great time. We missed it last week, took the kids to the zoo, or took one of the kids to the zoo anyways, and had a great time doing that with homeschool. We've got some other things coming up. I want you to start marking your calendars for Monday, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what's happening. And it won't be happening here on Contending for Truth Radio. That'll be a blackout day for Contending for Truth Radio. But we got something really, really special coming up for Monday evenings here really soon. And as soon as all of the works are done for that, we will plan it, and we will let you know what is going on. So keep your Monday nights open, folks. Or, as always, you can listen in the archives. And so, you know, I think Jennifer, you did it again, girl. Jennifer is always great at finding us some wonderful guests. And she pulled this one right out of the hat tonight. And it worked well. I really, really am going to enjoy watching as Obamacare continues to do its work in Alabama, guaranteeing the rights to bear arms, one of the basic rights and one of the most important rights there is in our freedom. You know, when we can't protect ourselves, what is there to do? You know, really, that's what it all comes down to. One more time, we want to give a shout-out to the Rumeke family, able to find asylum here in the United States so that they can homeschool their kids, some good-looking kids. Check them out on the Internet and look at their story. They're raising their kids right. They're teaching their kids good, basic good principles, biblical principles, how to be good kids, how to be productive members of society, and if anybody deserves to be able to move in and participate in this great place we call the United States of America, it is definitely that family. And no matter what the circumstances, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, but we'll talk about that maybe next week. No matter what the circumstances behind what the White House is doing with this, it's great news if they've been told that they can stay as long as they want and exercise their right to teach their kids in their home, much like I do every day. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Give a big shout-out to my youngest and oldest nieces. My five-year-old niece has got all but 10 states down on her states and capitals. She can tell you, point to the map and point out 40 of the 50 states, and found out today she's got about 10 of those capitals down, including Hallelujah, Hawaii. Hallelujah is the capital of Hawaii. She told us that yesterday, which was really, really fun and really, really cute. But it's wonderful to be able to watch them learn. And it's things like that why we fight. Why we fight for our freedoms here in the United States. Join us again next Tuesday night, same time, same place, here on Blog Talk Radio. We've just got a few seconds left, actually, and I'm going to start. I'm going to hand it over to Red Skelton to close out the show. If you're listening on the Internet, it might cut off for you, but if you're listening in archive, you will get to hear Red. Take it away, Red.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?